Amen and amen. All right. All right. Amen. I am reading tonight from the text that I've chosen for my message for you, and it's in 1 Kings 13. 13 is not my favorite number. It's a number of rebellion, disobedience, but 1 Kings 13, I'll start reading in verses 1 and 2. And you could follow in your copy of God's Word, the King James Bible. It says there, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." This is a man of God that came out of Judah, and he went into the northern kingdom of Israel to the wicked king Jeroboam and to give a prophecy from God, special revelation about the altar that Jeremiah had built there. You have to remember that Jeremiah took the 10 tribes out of the 12 and became king over them and took them away from David's house because of Solomon's sin. And he did it in the days of Rehoboam. And Jeroboam was worried that people from his kingdom would go worship God in Jerusalem. Now that's pretty bad when you're worried about worshiping God. And you're worried about people worshiping God. But that's about what we have with the O'Biden administration. They're worried about people having freedom of religion. They tried to use COVID to stop it. Thank God they weren't able to shut the doors here. Listen, no nation or government should be afraid of Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Christians. Bible-practicing believers. They're the best citizens we have in this country. That's what made America great, and America needs that again. But Jeroboam was afraid of it, and so he decided to build a rival altar to the one in Jerusalem, and he built an altar in Bethel, and he built another one in Dan, and actually he built two golden calves, one in Dan and Bethel. And then in Bethel, you have an altar. Now, he picked Bethel because Bethel had a history of being a center of worship in days gone by. But it no longer was. It was now Jerusalem. And so he had that rival altar there, and the rival god there made out of a golden image. And he was a wicked king, and he was not somebody that was to be looked up to. But God will have a man of God speak right in the face of wickedness. I wonder if you have the courage to speak up for the Lord Jesus in these days. All we need for evil to triumph is for good men and women to do nothing and say nothing. Right. We need to speak up and don't hold your peace. And this young man of God was told to go right up there and speak this word that I just gave you from the altar. And thank God for powerful proclamation of the word of God. Boy, we need some powerful preaching today. Amen. We need people to just speak the truth. And ladies on The View, they speak their lies. And liberals speak their lies. God's people need to speak the simple truth. And don't be afraid to say, I'm basing it on the King James Bible. You say, people might not like that. Well, God doesn't like what people are doing. And so this preacher, he went there and he was told to prophesy that a king from King David's line, boy, Jeroboam didn't want to hear that, that he would come, and he gave his name, Josiah. And he said that this Josiah would burn these unauthorized priests that were offering sacrifices for Jeroboam, not God, on the altar. He would burn their bones on the altar. You know what? We need judgment to begin. And these false lying preachers. We got a lot of fat cat lying preachers. that are in this country that are lying to people and telling people the wrong thing, and we need God's judgment to come down upon the churches and the false churches. And so Josiah said it's coming, and these priests, they're going to have they're going to be burned on this same altar. And of course that was not a popular message. Now, when God gave the gift of prophecy, he gave with it signs. And this prophet was no different. He was directly proclaiming the word of God. Now, I'm not a prophet, but I am in a secondary sense prophesying from the word of God that's already written down in the scripture. And the scripture was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And so we're given the word of God tonight. But the original apostles that gave this, Brother Matthew, they had to have signs and wonders. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians 12:12, the signs of the apostles. Amen. If you have the signs of the apostles, then go down to the hospital and empty it out. I don't think you're going to do it, though. And immediate healing, not over time, just right now. You do what they did, and then I'll believe you. Otherwise, I don't believe you. I'm not naive. I'm not that. But anyway, tonight I want to just say that this man was a prophet. He got direct revelation from God. He had a sign. And the sign was that when he preached this message about the altar was going to split. And ashes were going to come flowing out of the altar. And that happened by the hand of God supernaturally. At the same time, Jeroboam, you can imagine, did not like his message. Amen? Jeroboam didn't like that message. And he went to say, get him. Guards, get him. And he reached out his hand. You know what happened? God withered his hand. And he couldn't even pull it back in. It was just like withered. And then he changed his tune and he went to the man of God and he said, oh, pray for my hand. Pray that my hand gets restored. And the man of God, being a man of compassion, though he was bold and courageous, he also had compassion. We need to have both of them. He prayed for this unsaved king, and God healed his hand right there and right then. So it was a blessing. And then Jeroboam just changed on a dime. And now, guess what he wanted to do? In 1 Kings 13, you can read about it. You can do it later on. But he invited this guy to his house to eat with him and to have a nice meal with him and to talk to him. But, the Lord had told this prophet, not only say this about the altar, but also do not eat and drink with anybody from the area where you're going to give the prophecy. You know what? I think sometimes too many preachers, right after preaching goes on, they go out and they eat and they drink. And I'm not saying that's always bad, but I'm saying sometime we need to just deliver the message and go home and pray and take it in, especially hard-hitting message. And don't yuck it up all the time. I know there's a time to eat and there's a time to talk and so forth and so on, but I think we need to hear the word of God and take it in. And Jeroboam was going to, certainly he was not a godly man, and he was going to invite this prophet to go and just try to get him to have fun and maybe kind of bring him down to Jeroboam's level. You know, there are people that want to get rid of the pulpit. This is actually biblically the pulpit. That's right, here, the platform. They don't want a preacher to stand on a platform. And they feel uncomfortable. They want to take the tie off and they want to put on the green jeans, Mr. Green Jeans preacher, or whatever. They want to be on your level. I'm right down on your level. I want to tell you, I'm not down on your level. I'm up there because I represent God when I'm preaching. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And we lack that today. And I think it's a mock humility that does that. And it's not what we need today. But anyway, that's what Jeroboam maybe wanted. And fame began to spread about this young, bold prophet of God. He wasn't afraid to confront the king. A sign followed him, and people were talking about that and how it was healed. And you could almost hear the buzz surrounding the ministry of this unknown man of God. But you know what the sad thing is? We never got his name in the Bible. You know what the sad thing is? He never became a great prophet, whether minor or major prophet. And you say, why not, Pastor? Because his ministry was cut short. And that's what I want to preach on to you tonight. Whether you're a preacher boy, or whether you're a Sunday school teacher, or whether you're a bus worker, or a bus captain, or a soul winner, I don't want this to happen to you. My message tonight is how your life's work can be cut short. How you can just become unknown and make little impact. And I want to give you three things how you can do that tonight from 1 Kings chapter 13. A tad bit warm, so I'm going to take this off, if you don't mind, and get into preaching. Still keep the tie on, just loosen it a little. And I want to say point number one, how your life work can be cut short by your buying into knowledge of God's truth from the wrong sources. Let me say that again. By your buying in to knowledge of God's truth from the wrong sources. Remember, this young man was told to do to the altar. And then after he did what he did to the altar, he was told, don't eat with anybody, don't drink with anybody, and go back a different way than when you came. In other words, I don't want anybody getting too chummy with you. You're my guy. You're to represent me. And the best thing you can do for these people, don't get real chummy with them. Give them the message. Go back a different way. Don't eat any meals with them. Love them by giving them my word. And he did it. And however, his life work was cut short. But it was not by the temptations of the world. That's not how it was cut short. See, the devil is pretty smart, Matt. He knows how to get you. He knows how to trick you if you have a heart for God. And so Jeroboam, you know, he offered this young man to go eat and drink at his house. But guess what? His offer didn't tempt the young man. Look at chapter 13 of 1 Kings, verses 7 through 10. I'll read it. It says, and the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. Ho ho. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn against the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by that the way that he came to Bethel. Boy, I can just hear this young man. He is determined to do what God wants. He is not tempted by an ungodly man. He sees right through Jeroboam with his offer of money, his offer of food, his offer of the worldly stuff. He rejected it. But I could just hear Satan, I'll deal with him. See, God knows how to deal with you. But so does Satan. And he disguises himself as an angel of light. This young man wasn't tempted away from God's best for his life by a person saying, hey, come to my bar and grill and I'll buy you some good food. I got the best hot wings. I've got the best steaks in town. I'll supply you with cocktails and you can wash it down with some real fancy alcoholic beverage, adult beverage. By the way, if it's an adult beverage, if it's not a child's beverage, it's not an adult beverage. It's not good for either children or adult. And if your kids can't drink it, then you ought not drink it because they're going to follow you. He wasn't tempted by that. He wasn't tempted away from God's best by saying, somebody saying, hey, come to my place. I have some beautiful women here. who will be impressed with your courage, and you can have your way with them. Why, he would have seen right through that. His ministry was not cut short by womanizing. Although sad to say, a lot of men, it has. But he wasn't tempted by someone offering him a job. Said, work on Sunday, make a lot more money. He'd say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be their church. I'm going to put God first. Take your money and leave. In fact, that's what he said. You see, he wasn't tempted by that. And perhaps you wouldn't be tempted by these blatant temptations. He wasn't tempted away by a guy that was offering him drugs to dull the pain that comes from living and serving in this world. And he wasn't tempted by that. Well, you might ask me, well, Pastor, what cut his ministry short? What was it that cut it short? And I've said it, he bought into knowledge of God's truth from the wrong source. Listen to me tonight. Listen carefully. He met an older man who presented himself as older and more experienced and a wiser man of God who was also a prophet. In fact, the older man said to him, he said, I also am a prophet, and I want you to come with me and follow my teaching, for an angel of God has spoken to me. Do you see the hiss there? Satan, disguising himself as an angel of light. He knows what will tempt you, and he knows what will not tempt you, and he will get what he can. And very spiritual people can be led away by saying, oh man, I am going to get some knowledge, more knowledge of the Bible. I'll get more knowledge of the Bible, and I'll go to this school with its accreditation, or I'll go here and go that. I'm sad to say Pensacola Christian College has now got accreditation from Pharaoh, and they didn't need it. They had graduate schools that would accept their people in all things. I'm sorry, they've accepted accreditation. We need a school like Pensacola, but we don't need them to except accreditation from Pharaoh. And there's that kind of thing. Let me explain what I'm saying. I'm thinking of a young convert I heard say, in effect, well, I used to listen to the preaching and teaching of the angel of my home church, the man with the message, the pastor, but I've been doing my own research, and I'm more enlightened now about many Bible truths that are beyond what I'm getting in my local church. And let me explain what he meant by I'm doing my own research. It meant that he got on the internet. Yep. He did a few clicks. Yep. And he ran across some quote-unquote fundamentalists who said, my final authority is the King James Bible. Sounds good. And I could teach you many new truths that will really enlighten you and give you a higher, more detailed knowledge than what you are now getting. You know, that reminds me of Eve. Satan said, here's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and this is a tree to be desired, and you'll get wiser.
Right.
You know what that's a pandering to? The pride of life.
Right.
Some guys come, they get saved, and they think they know. I know more in my little finger than they know in their whole body. They forget as they've been growing, they think they've been growing, I've been growing for all these years and getting wiser. And I'm just saying how stupid it is when these young bucks think, oh, I know it all because I am doing my own research now. And so, oh, the Word of God, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. Let me tell you something. You come to Sunday school here on Sunday morning. You come to church Sunday morning. You come Sunday evening. And you come on Wednesday. And you come on a soul winning night when we're teaching doctrines to understand the gospel better. This guy does that. I put him against any Bible college student that graduates from Bible college and goes into the ministry and thinks they know something. This guy knows a way more than they do. See, he listened to wise counsel. And he did it the right way. And I've given people counsel, but a lot of dumb cops, they don't listen to wise counsel. That's exactly the truth. But they come across as these older, wiser people. Check out their life. What have they built?
That's good preaching.
What have they built? They built squat. And they just take and leech off of the local church. They leech off of it. And people go to them as a source of knowledge. And the Bible says, by their fruit ye shall know them. And so you ought to understand, are they producing soul winning stewards who are mature, serving saints who serve in the local church and show true love like Joe Slobodnik? Do they produce that? I try not. And yet young people sometimes get fooled by that. I'm thinking of a guy came to our church and he was into hyper-dispensationalism, which I don't have time to explain all that to you now. I'm a dispensationalist, but this was hyper-dispensationalism. You say, what do you mean? I mean that God saved people in the Old Testament by works. Now he saves them by grace, but in the tribulation period, he's going to save them by works again. Balderdash! That's a heretical teaching. Peter Ruckman teaches that. It's good on the Bible, but there's a lot of Ruckmanites that go along with that. This guy was that kind of guy. And he went from this church to another church to another church to another church, all independent fundamental Baptist churches. He went to another church. Finally, he ran out of churches. And I saw his poor wife. She's like following him to these churches. And then he gets it. Finally, he gets all the church. So he comes back. I think he came back to this one. And then he went to another one. Finally, he was done. He couldn't do it anymore. So he started his own church. And the last I checked out, the only people going to his church are his poor wife and immediate family, I guess. At this point in time, I don't know. But I'm just saying to you, I think of another guy, same thing. His wife was a good friend of one of our workers in the church, or the wives of one of our workers in the church, good friend. And this guy, you know, he was a nice guy. I liked him. He was in the church. He'd always praise me. Oh, Pastor, I love your preaching. But behind that, there was an unwillingness for him to work in the yoke and do the work of the Lord. And he wanted to start his own church, and he exalted himself. And guess what? His poor wife and kids had to sit there for hours on a Sunday and listen to him. And that never came to anything. This work, if it be of men, it will come to nothing. That was truly a good testimony. But I'm saying sometimes people, young men, they get thrown off by that and they think, I can be exalted. And they seek knowledge from the wrong sources. And that is a good way to cut your work for the Lord short and come to naught. Right. Secondly, by your buying into lies from these wrong sources. Now, remember the old prophet said, I am a prophet also as thou art. Now, I don't believe that was a lie. He was a preacher, although I think he was retired, not doing anything right now. And there's nothing wrong with being retired, but I don't think he was doing anything. And he says, an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and water. Now, is that the truth?
No.
In fact, it says right here, in case you wonder, in verse 18b, it says, but he lied unto him. And so that is the second thing. When you buy into the wrong source for your teaching and your preaching, you need to realize that embedded in that food that you're getting may be lies. You say, where do you get that from? Well, Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 talks about the benefits of being in a local church, being under the ministry of a God-called pastor and teacher in the local church, and under whose guidance and counsel and teaching and preaching, you and your family will grow to be mature ministering believers. And that church usually results in a pastoral staff of God-called men that can help in various areas of the ministry, and it will help you make an impact for Christ. In fact, the Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets. Now, the apostles and the prophets were for the finishing of the Bible, the New Testament. They had the sign gifts. Once the Bible was finished, the apostles have passed off the scene. There were 12 of them.
Right.
They're in heaven. Their names are written there.
Yep.
You can hear about that in heaven. And likewise, the prophets. They're the foundation. They left us the foundation. What's the foundation? A complete Bible. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction or training in righteousness. And you got everything you need, and the man of God that preaches has everything he needs. But then you have the more continuing gifts for the church, which are pastors and teachers, evangelists. Evangelists and pastors and teaching for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of a knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, that's a mature man, mature person, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And you know what? In a church, Patty, you had it when we went to pastor school. You had that shirt. What did it say on it? Proof of the pudding. And what her shirt meant, and Joe, you had it when we had the anniversary. What it meant was, if you stay under this ministry, you're going to grow and become a mature Christian. You got everything you need. You, Brother Joe knows that. I remember a relative of his. He left the church. And I remember that relative was in the church, and I saw what a difference between Joe and his relative who left. Joe stayed, and he just kept maturing, and he got the relative was going the other way. I've seen that over and over again. I am saying to you how to cut your ministry and your impact short by seeking knowledge of God's truth from the wrong people, the wrong sources, and by your buying into the lies from these wrong sources. I remember I had a guy that was in our church, a good man, and he had an evangelism course in college, and he thought, I don't need the soul winning training in the local church. I've already had it, a course in college. Well, just because you had a course in college doesn't make you a soul winner. And I was preaching that, and the guys that got involved in my soul winning course, they grew, and they won others to Christ. But this guy, it was more of a head knowledge that grew, but not a corresponding life as he ought to have. And I'm not saying he was nothing for God. He's a good man. But I'm just saying, to max out, you need to not be buying into the lies of those that are part of the wrong source of people. By the way, I encourage our ladies to go to our ladies' meetings. You say, why do you do that? Because the older, mature ladies are to teach the younger ladies. Now, sometimes this generation that knows all the technology and knows all the stuff, they think they know all the stuff that ladies are to learn in the Bible, and you don't know your head from a hole in the ground. And if you can't sit under a woman of God and learn, ladies, about lady stuff, then you are too smart and too wise for your own good. And I am just saying that Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, all of that, and ladies' meetings for ladies. Now, you men don't need to show up to that because you're getting plenty of food. But notice verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 4, and notice what it says that this prophet did. He slipped in a lie with his food that he was given, the young prophet. And it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Watch the guy that's always saying, now pastor and I disagree on this. I wish he'd say it to when I'm there and tell me what he disagrees, and we'll talk it through. He might not seem so smart when he talks through with me, because I know a little bit about this book. And I'm not saying everybody has to agree with me, but I can give you the reasons why I believe what I believe. And you can make that choice. But I'm saying a lot of times what we have is people lying in wait to deceive.
Right.
And, oh, this is where I'm different than everybody else. And I realize I'm different than everybody else on some things. But I've proven it in a local church. Not going some parachurch thing.
That's good.
Parachurch. By the way, Jesus Christ said, I will build my church.
That's right.
Not my parachurch Bible study. That's under no pastor, no church. Fooey on that.
Yeah.
I said fooey on that. I will build my church.
Amen.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is the promise of Christ for divine perpetuity to the church. By the way, he didn't say I'll build my school or my college.
Right.
People get all excited about schools and colleges. I'm excited about the church.
Amen.
And the church ought to have all of these ministries under it.
Right.
So they can have the promise of divine perpetuity, not get accreditation from Pharaoh, and therefore I'll have. We need God's blessing.
Amen.
So, I'm saying that this old prophet was sitting at home. He didn't have a ministry that was reaching people. He wasn't prophesying and reaching people. Certainly wasn't having an impact on Jeroboam. He had to have his sons basically saddle his jackass so he could ride to meet the prophet. He couldn't even saddle his own jackass. He got on it. You know, they helped him get. You know, it reminds me of Trump and Biden. They're about the same age. But Biden just looks old. And that's fine to be old. There's nothing wrong with being old. But don't be president of the United States if you can't cut the muster or pretend to be the president of the United States. They jack him up with drugs and get him through these speeches and give him what to say, and he has to read it on a prompter. And all of this garbage. Donald Trump's his age, but he can cut the mustard. He can cut the mustard. Watch his schedule. Nobody in here could keep up with his schedule. I've checked it out. None of you could. None of you young bucks could. But I'm just saying that we have people that aren't in the local church. We had a group in our church years ago. They said about me when it came to the spiritual program of this church, he has his fingers in too many pieces of the pie. And you know what? I tell people, I'm not called to be a dictator. I'm just called to make sure nobody else is. See, they wanted my fingers out of pieces of the pie so they could say what to do in the spiritual program. When you call a preacher, you call him to lead the spiritual program of the church. And he should be checking it out, or he's not doing his job. He is responsible at the judgment seat of Christ for who he lets into the pulpit. He can lose his reward. I take that seriously. They may not have, but I'm still here and they're gone. The old prophet deceived the young one. I think of people that have been involved in this church. Maybe they've given financially to this church. They've helped with ministries of this church. But I have a problem when they hide from the man of God. I have a problem with that. Because what are you hiding? You can hobnob and fellowship and friendship around, but the man of God's going to come down on you. Just like this prophet. If he's a man of God. And So I'm just saying, don't be deceived by these things. So how is your life work cut short? Just like I'm going to cut short this message right now, by your buying into knowledge of God's truth from wrong sources. Number two, by buying into lies that are mixed in with truth from these wrong sources, and they have plenty of lies. Put in there so much poison. And number three and last, by your buying into imitations of the right source. Imitations. It says in chapter 13, verse 19, concerning the young buck, so he went back with him, the old prophet, and did eat bread in his house and drank water in direct violation of the word of God. See, I think of a guy who was in our church years ago, and he was just growing and growing and growing here. He was serving the Lord here. He was soul winning. He was teaching. He had all kind of ministries. I won't go into everything, but just that was wonderful. His wife was blessed. His kids were blessed. He learned how to raise his kids. They were spoiled brats. before he got here. And he learned how to raise his kids with character. With character. Biblical character teaching. And it wasn't the world that hurt him at first. It was the offer of ministry. But you know what? They never came to me. Two people were offering him ministry. And I knew both of these people very well. They knew me very well. But they didn't come to me. You know why? Because something ain't good. That's why. You don't go to the man of God. That's not the way to do it. Never is. And they got him, and then he came to me, because he's an upstanding, and he came to me and said, God is leading me, and he gave me that, and we let him go, and he went and got involved in that ministry, and he was not ready for it, not able to do it. He was great here. It just was, he was led away from where God wanted him to be. And I remember when he left, my wife said, oh, how are you going to do without this guy? He has such a good effect on you, such a good effect on the ministry. And I said to my wife, how is he going to do without this church? You have to understand, this church has a great impact. Why? Because we're not an imitation of the real thing. We are the real thing. The local church is the real thing. And that's what the Lord is telling us. He didn't say, I'll build my parachurch group that drains away time and finances and people themselves from the local New Testament church. I think of so many charismatic groups. Some of you have been snookered by it. Possibly. I don't know. But these people purport to be apostles and prophets. They're false apostles.
Right.
They don't measure up to what the Word of God says about an apostle. I'm sick of hearing it. People go and, oh, they have these wonderful gifts and these wonderful things. And, oh, and people get. But check out the proof of the pudding.
Right.
What are they producing? You see, the miracles today are built on the foundation of the sign gifts, and they are the changed lives, the greater works that Jesus looked forward to. Those are the things. And they are produced with decades of faithful service to the Lord. And so tonight, I'll end this message by saying how your life's work can be shut and cut down. Buy into knowledge of God's truth, more knowledge from the wrong sources. Buy into the lies from these same wrong sources. And buy into the imitations of the right way to get God's truth. And you will cut short your impact. You will cut short your ministry, and you'll not measure up to what God can do with you. Amen. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. And we've been talking about a deception. We've been talking about something that